Welcome to episode 85 of season 2 of the Search with Canda podcast. I am your host, Jack Chambers Ward, and joining me this week is the fantastic freelance SEO consultant, Iber Jonathan, all the way from Nigeria. Iber and I are going to be diving into a topic that I'm sure plenty of you are familiar with, but hopefully we can give you some advice and some tips about how to identify and recover from traffic drops for your clients and your websites. We're going to go through what tools to use, how to identify them, what things to look for, and the ways to recover from traffic drops and potential causes and all that kind of stuff. So stay tuned for that. It's a really, really interesting conversation with Iber this week. Before I get to my conversation with Iber, I'd like to say a huge thank you to Sistrix, who have sponsored this episode of Search with Canda and continue to sponsor us all the way through season 2 of Search with Canda. I'm going to dive into a little bit of Sector Watch, which is one of my favorite things that Sistrix do. The fantastic Charlie Williams, who is a member of the data journalism team over at Sistrix, is talking about the top domains and content all about customer relationship management software, good old CRMs. I know plenty of us are probably familiar with different types of CRMs, and this is a really interesting deep dive into that industry about who's doing what and how they are doing it. Specifically in the UK, we've looked at 116 active players in the UK side of things for CRMs, and it is one of the largest software markets in the world by many different measurements, essentially. We look at the growth, so it's grown by 18.2%, with an estimated total revenue of more than £2 billion just in the UK, by the way. Most CRMs, you know, we're looking at sort of a pretty big range, actually, from month to month, so anything from £8 to £240 a month, and even higher than that if you get into the real enterprise software stuff as well. And the thing I really love about Sector Watch is how much Charlie dives into the details and the real kind of useful data you can take forward to learn from and adapt for you and your clients. So just a quick glimpse into the top three domains for transactional searches and the top three domains for informational searches already tells you a lot about this industry and what we can learn from it. The top three for transactional are salesforce.com, hubspot.com, and crm.org. And the top three for informational searches are salesforce.com again, Keep, that's keap.com, and HubSpot.com. It's very interesting to see that both Salesforce and HubSpot are in both the informational and transactional. If you've heard me talk about Sector Watch before, that's not often the case that we see two out of the three repeated across both the informational and the transactional side of things. There is a lot of high volume searches here. There is a lot of very clear search intent for people trying to buy this kind of stuff. Like I said, the market has grown more than 18% over the last couple of years, and it is a pretty big deal to be ranking for some of these big terms. So understanding where things like Salesforce and HubSpot and CRM and even like comparison sites like Forbes and stuff like that, where they are ranking and what content is ranking is a really, really powerful tool to allow you to analyze. It's basically giving you free market research and free competitor research from the data journalism team over at Sistrix. So again, particularly interesting, the leaders of these two sets of keywords are very, very similar. So both the top 25, so both the top 20 do intent, so the purchasing, the transactional intent, and the top 20 no or informational intent, there's actually a 18 out of those top 25 domains are the same on both lists. Things like Salesforce and HubSpot, but also tech review publications like PC Mag and Tech Radar as well. It's a very interesting thing, and you get a real deep dive into some high performance content examples, which are always fascinating to me to see which directories are working particularly well for them. If you look at the Salesforce side of things in particular, they're What is CRM page, their guide, is incredibly powerful. It's a huge pillar piece of content that drives massive amounts of traffic single-handedly to that site. And they also have a learning center, which is very educational and very informational, which that directory is a really high-performing piece of content as well. It has 37 pages that rank for at least one keyword, and together, combined, they rank for 1,735 keywords with more than 42,000 visits a month. And for 42 of those keywords, Salesforce ranks on page one for. So those are some pretty big numbers, right? There is clearly some really, really great content that Salesforce are creating. The links are all in here to go and check out that content. Charlie also does an analysis and dives into why he thinks it's performing, why it's doing so well. And I always take this as a bit of advice, like I said, a bit of free research to take forward to discuss with my clients and think about for my sites and things like that. So go to Systrix.com/blog. Go and check out the top domains and content for CRMs. That is the latest sector watch done by the fantastic Charlie Williams over at Systrix. If you'd like to try Systrix for free and try out some of their free tools, get a free trial, all that good stuff, go to Systrix.com/SWC. That stands for Search with Candor. And you can get a free trial and to try out some of their fantastic free tools as well. Thank you once again, Systrix, for sponsoring Search with Candor. And before I get to my conversation with Abair, just one more thing. I promise I won't hold you too much longer. We are doing another live podcast in Brighton on Wednesday, the 13th of September, 2023, at 7 p.m. at the Projects, The Lanes in Brighton. Tickets are free. There'll be a link for the Eventbrite in the show notes, so please click that link and go and check it out. I'll be teaming up once again with the dynamic duo from the SEO Mindset podcast, the fantastic Sarah McDowell and Tasmin Suliman. We'll be talking all about how to manage your energy levels at conferences. I think it's a very relevant conversation to have the day before Brighton SEO. And of course, we'll be around during Brighton SEO as well, if you want to catch us there as well. I know Tasmin is speaking and also hosting mindfulness sessions, but the best place to come and find us will be on the Wednesday night to come and join us for a live podcast. Like I said, tickets are free. They include drinks and snacks and a live podcast. And there'll be an opportunity for Q&A and to get involved in the discussion and the conversation afterwards as well. Go to the link in the show notes. It's an Eventbrite link and get your free tickets now before they sell out, which I'm sure they will do very, very soon as we get closer to Brighton SEO. Without any further ado, here is my conversation about how to identify and recover from traffic drops with Iber Jonathan. And my guest for this week, welcome to the show, Iber Jonathan.
Thank you so much, Jack, for having me. It's really exciting to be here with you.
We were just saying before we started recording, it's so nice to actually have a conversation, right? Because I know you and I have talked on social media a couple of times, and it's nice to actually sit down and see each other as close as we can get face to face in this digital age of ours. But it's really nice to actually sit down and have a conversation. I know we've been planning this for a long time to have you on the podcast. So I am very, very excited to dive into our topic, because we were talking about it again before we just started recording. And the reason we want to do this topic is I've covered a lot of different topics over the last few weeks with a few different guests. We've done some content stuff. We've covered some self-confidence stuff and lots of different things, some soft skills, some you know, content-driven stuff. We're going to get a bit technical this week, and I'm excited to talk about a real practical kind of subject that you brought to the table. And my first question is going to be why you want to talk about it. But to the listeners, we're going to be talking about how to analyze the cause of traffic drops. And I'm sure this is a very, very common issue and a very, very common thing a lot of listeners have experienced in their SEO careers. So what was your thought? What was your plan behind bringing it as a topic for the podcast?
We know as SEOs, and business, let's have SEO from business and not just from the SEO part of things. The drop in traffic means the drop in leads, drop in booking, drop in sign form signing and money. So that's why it's important to know how to analyze this. And traffic analysis was one difficult part of SEO that I had to tackle when I first interest you.
I think it's a very scary thing as well, right? The first time you see something. Yeah. I remember it was for me like 3 or 4 years ago. I was working in a different agency with a client, and we saw just a pretty significant traffic drop. And I had this heart-stopping moment of like, oh no, I've done something wrong. Oh no, I've pressed a wrong button somewhere. I've completely de-indexed. I've put a no-index tag on the site or something. Oh no, I've done something completely wrong. But actually, you can learn so much from just looking at the data, reviewing it from different angles and different perspectives and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's a really, really cool topic because it seems fairly simple, but I think it can get really in-depth and really interesting as soon as you start exploring that data, right? And it's such a big learning experience, I think, for everyone who works in our industry.
Yeah, it gets even worse when the client comes to you and like, we are losing traffic, what's the cause? And they expect you to give them an answer immediately. I tell them your needs that they are fixing it. And you have no idea where to start from. Just to, you know what you should do and how you should get around.
Yeah, I think there was something I learned a couple of years into my career that was, there is power in saying, I don't know yet, I will go and check. Rather than, you know, if say you're on a client call, you're on the monthly reporting call and they ask the question of like, why are we down 20% traffic? Why are we down? What's happened over here? And you don't know the answer. Don't just say, I think it's reason A or reason B, and just completely make it up and just hope you're correct. Be honest and say, I haven't checked that yet. I will go and review my data. I will go and check. We're going to talk about a lot of different tools on this episode and how we can explore it from different angles, and say that there's a confidence in that, right? There's a power to that, to say like, actually no, and being honest with the client. And hopefully, well, maybe by the time you get to a reporting call, you should probably have already done that process. I'm maybe doing that around the wrong way, but still, if you get a phone call, a panicked phone call from a client saying, oh god, what's happened to our traffic, I will go and check, leave it with me, I have this as a priority, I will look at it, is a powerful thing to say to a client, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, because you can just stay at the door and say, oh, I think it is this. And then you go and check and it's something different. It's just your thought. This makes more sense to like, okay, I'll run a check and get back to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's another thing, something Mark here at Canada talks about a lot, is the importance of the why behind so much of the data, especially when it comes to reporting. Whether you're working in-house or in an agency, you're going to be reporting to somebody, right? You're going to be explaining your ROI and all that kind of stuff, your metrics, your KPIs, your goals, whatever it is. And you've got to explain that to somebody, saying, we're up 50% this month. But okay, but why? Oh, we're down 25% this month, year on year. Why? There's so much, again, power and information in asking that question. And something I really kind of took on board, especially when I joined here at Canada, was including that in the information to your client or to your superiors or whoever you're reporting to. Going and getting that data and actually having a reason for, instead of just, yes, traffic is up, everything's good, end of conversation, you have, it is up because our blog posts are performing well. We have, you know, sorted out this technical issue, which now allows these pages to be indexed. And now everything is, you know, we have changed this and now the rankings are going up, or we've added a new way of conversion through a CTA or whatever, and now conversions are up, or whatever it is. Actually having that conversation is so important. And I think it's even more interesting personally to look at it from the other perspective that we're going to be talking about this week, is the negative changes. What can negatively affect us and how we can then learn from that, right? So let's dive in, shall we? So I guess we'll kind of start off with what are some common causes we've experienced in our career so far. So I think there's quite a few different options here, and there are quite a few different directions we can go in. Where would you like to start, Ibert? What's the first one that comes to your mind?
It depends. As SEO.
The classic SEO answer.
It depends. I think they all happens. Technical tab changes, it happens often. We know Google introduces the FAQ is there, tomorrow FAQ is gone.
Yep.
And then maybe competitors are upping their games. Or maybe algorithm, we know that one often, it happens. Algorithm changes, seasonality, there are lots of them, but then it depends on your website, on your case, your customized case.
Definitely, definitely. There's so much that can change, right? And I think there's something I always lean on year-on-year data for a lot of client reporting rather than month-to-month or week-to-week. I know a lot of people might disagree with me, but the reason for that, I think, is one of the big reasons we can kind of... I think the easiest one to explore and kind of get out of the way is seasonality, right? That's such a big part of so many industries. I found it especially common in a lot of e-commerce clients I've worked with over the years, where they will have a particular range of products that changes per season or just interest from customers. So search demand, literally the search volume for that thing will drop, or the, you know, things like Google Trends, using that to understand seasonality and then looking at your previous year's data and comparing that. That is such a powerful thing to do and be like, okay, yeah, that is clearly an answer here. And maybe even the client already knows that, right?
Maybe or maybe not, but as you said, you can only notice this when you zoom in and look at it year on year. So if you are looking at it month by month, you wouldn't get this gist. You would just panic, oh, traffic have dropped. But if you zoom in and look at it the past year, you notice that the same trend occurred same year.
Yeah, I've done that a lot of times with my client reporting where it's like from February to March, traffic has dropped. However, it has dropped less than it did in February to March of last year. And as we can see, this is a common pattern throughout the last 3 or 4 years. Every February to March, the traffic goes down and continues for however many months, like being able to easily identify that seasonality. So for me, I mentioned Google Trends. Is there anything else you would use to kind of have a look at seasonality and easily identify that as a quick cause?
Yeah, aside seasonality, I try to check competitors too and see if they are also experiencing similar issues. Because if they are, then seasonality problem. Say you sell shoes and then you check all your competitors that are selling shoes and you notice that there's a drop in those keywords, then definitely something is wrong. And it's easy to use any of the third-party tools to check Ahrefs, Semrush, to look at what your competitors' traffic look like.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one as well. That's something I've really been introducing into a lot of my reports recently, is including that competitor information. So seeing an industry-wide change, if you know the entire industry for your client changes in the summer, suddenly everybody is interested in this product and not this product, having a look at competitors is a great way of identifying that. If you see everybody goes up in July and then comes back down in September, chances are it's not something you've done on the website. You've not broken anything, but you've also not really able to take credit for it with the client either, if it is a positive change. But yeah, negative changes, I think, are something you can easily spot when you, like you said, when you kind of zoom out and have 3, 4, 5 different competitors, whether you're using Semrush, Ahrefs, Systrix, like those bigger kind of wider tools that you can compare and contrast multiple competitors at once. I think that's a really, really great way of looking at it.
Yeah, and it gives your clients the information they love, because they love to see that, oh, it's not just us. It's happening to them too. Okay, that's fine.
Definitely, definitely. I think the client almost has like one eye on the competition a lot of the time anyway. So they will be having a look, but they're not necessarily looking at the data. They might just be looking at their website or their social marketing or whatever it is, like other sides of things. When you can come with data and say, yeah, the competitors are in the same position, like you said, that's something every client wants to hear, right? Unless you're the one that's going up and everyone else is going down.
I'll make them happier, you know.
That's the really good news. That's Christmas for clients is what that is. Cool. So next one, you mentioned algorithm changes. That is a huge, huge topic. You even touched on the recent reduction in visibility for FAQ schema and things like that. What kind of things we'll be looking into? What kind of tools, what kind of thoughts go through your head if you see a big update coming that could possibly affect a client's visibility?
Well, for algorithm change, I noticed it bounces back with no time, but there are tools out there. I can't recall their names right now, but there are lots of tools out there that I use to check what is happening and why it's happening. So if it's algorithm updates, it's going to let you know. I think Semrush has something like that.
Yeah, they have their volatility radar or something like that. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it shows you like how much the SERPs have changed in the last week. Yeah. And if it goes in the red, a lot of people, you know, Aleda Solis and Barry Schwartz and all those guys are going to suddenly be like, something's coming up. We can tell. We've got the data. I know our partners at Systrix do this a lot as well. They've always got the data there to be like, we have noticed a lot of shifts changing. Like the way Systrix do it with their visibility index, they can see so many different people at the same time. And suddenly, like you said, if the entire world suddenly shifts in one direction, it's probably a good sign of an algorithm coming up, right?
Lily Ray does that so much. Yeah.
Oh, Lily Ray is the best.
I don't, most of the times, I don't think algorithm updates strike so bad like that, the way people panic about it. Most websites, because what happens is there's August core update right now, and then you go into your client site and see there is a drop. Without further research, you conclude it's the August core update, whereas something else is happening behind the screen. So it makes sense. Many people blame core updates on their traffic. Anytime there's core updates, and I don't really love that. So it makes sense to do research, even if there's updates, still research, still try to check. If there's a significant drop in traffic, check what is causing this drop and don't blame it on update.
It's the easy, like, get out of jail free card for SEO as well. Like, oh, not my problem. It's Google. You know, don't blame me.
Yeah, that's it. It's one easy way out. Yeah, it's Google. Correct.
Yeah. I think from the other side of it as well, I know Google always recommend, there's something John Mueller talks about a lot and Danny Sullivan talks a lot about as well. Don't make big changes when a core update is happening. If you know it's happening, like you said, we know the August core update is rolling out at time of recording, and probably by the time this episode comes out in a couple of weeks, it will still be rolling out or just about finishing up. And making significant changes on your site, again, coming around to reporting to clients and stuff, if you've seen a positive change from an algorithm update, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, if you make a change during that time, it is then very, very difficult to work out which one was the influence behind that. Was it the algorithm change? Was it the core update that changed, you know, the traffic in a positive direction? Or was it your hard work that actually paid off and made the change there? It's much harder to tell. So the more you can kind of separate that stuff out and say, we're going to make a significant change, but let's wait for the latest core update to complete rolling out. So you make sure everything's kind of back to normal stability. Like you said, everything bounces back and it's back to normal. And then is the time to start thinking about those big changes. And then you can then talk about proof that your hard work has paid off or something has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, if the core update is going to bounce back, so don't freak out.
Yeah, and unless you're doing very dodgy SEO stuff.
And if you are doing dodgy stuff, then definitely you will run into issues any moment from now.
Yeah, you'll get caught eventually, that's for sure. Cool, so let's talk about some of those big changes that can kind of affect our traffic and possibly cause traffic drops. One of the big ones for me, I think, is any sort of migration, right? Any sort of significant changes to... Because I think a lot of people think of a migration as moving CMS or changing your domain, but even simple things like changing the layout of your website or changing the site structure, the way your pages link to each other, if you change that significantly, that can have a massive impact on how users and how search engines see your website overall, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's easy for you to detect this. I kind of try to guess what caused a traffic drop when I look at graphs. And when it's technical, it's easy for you to know because the graph goes like a dive, like this. And then it remains flat that way. Like it just stepped down and then stays that way. And when you check all the other pages, you're going to see that, oh, this is affecting most or all the pages. Then something is happening up there. It must, as I said, must not be big migration like domain name change or some CMS change or something big like that. It could be something as little as your developer mistakenly checked if you are using something like WordPress, mistakenly ticked the bar of, yeah, don't let this be visible. And then you've indexed all pages and the traffic goes flat. And sometimes it could simply be a canonical issue and yeah, choosing the wrong page as your canonical page. And those important pages are not ranking anymore and the traffic goes all the way down. So some tiny, tiny stuff like that, little migrations, cause real traffic nosedive.
Definitely. And what would be the kind of like easiest way to find out if you've accidentally no-indexed something or got the wrong canonicals, and what would be your kind of go-to path, like find that as quickly as possible?
So if I see that those kind of stuff, the first thing is to interview the dev team. Let them tell you the tiniest. You'd make any tiniest change, just let me know. Because they will feel like, no, it's not a big deal. But then you get to see that this tiniest change caused this change. Then you can use Google Search Console to inspect the URL and check. Google can actually let you know, okay, this is no longer indexed. This is no longer the canonical. This is the new canonical. Google can crawl this because of this. So you will see the date. The last time Google crawled it is okay. There's a problem right here. But the go-to, apart from using Google Search Console, is to interview your dev team and know if they have done something without your knowledge.
I think that has happened to, again, this is another thing that probably has happened to anyone who has worked in SEO long enough. This will happen to you eventually, where someone somewhere, maybe it's even you, maybe you've got CMS access, and yet, like you said, do you very easily tick the wrong box or click the wrong button or whatever it was, and you've no-indexed the whole site. That has happened quite a few times to me, and I've even had, exactly as you said, developers say like, no, we weren't doing anything. We're like, what do you mean? Like, well, we updated a few plugins. I'm like, yes. Yeah, I'm sure you did. What plugins were they exactly? And it's like, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then it says like, index analysis. I'm like, yeah. Did you update that and not tick like remain visible or whatever option is there? Like, so we kind of along similar sort of lines. Another thing I thought of when you mentioned this topic was, and something I've encountered a lot with clients is tracking issues as well, right? Obviously, we're all moved now to GA4, right? Everything's fine. Everybody's happy with GA4 and everything's perfect. Nothing to worry about. I've seen that quite a lot, again, where somebody will make a very small change. Maybe somebody's doing something in Tag Manager or just adjusting something, and you'll end up with a tracking issue. So what kind of tracking, have you experienced tracking issues before? Is that a kind of thing you'd be able to kind of dive in and analyze from that perspective as well?
Yeah, I think that's part of the first step to actually do when you notice that your traffic is down. First thing I check is to confirm I'm actually on the right property, because sometimes you're on the migration and then you're freaking out like, oh my God, what's happening? And then I check, oh, this is the HTTP version or this is the not www. Then before you start panicking, I confirm that. And after that, you check if you're having tracking issue, maybe it's somehow deleted in your backend or in your Tag Manager, as you mentioned, confirm that those two are okay before you move on to the other steps.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's always my first thought. As soon as I see a, like you said, that straight drop off to zero is a really clear idea of either it's an indexing thing or a tracking thing. And I find, you know, tracking is something you can fairly quickly identify. Have a look at your GA4, have a look at whatever analytics you're using, whatever you're using to track. Does that match your Search Console? Because I think a lot of people, we kind of take for granted that traffic is traffic and it's all the same thing, right? But the fact that Search Console is those raw clicks from the SERP to your website, that is a click from Search Console is not the same as a user from GA4. They are two very different things. And if you see GA4 suddenly dropped to zero, but Search Console is still ticking along nicely, that's a pretty clear indication that something is going wrong with the tracking side of things, but you're still indexed because Search Console is still reporting clicks and impressions.
Yeah. So I think for SEOs, it's mostly Search Console that we are looking at, unless we are now trying to analyze specific user's journey or something. That's where we go into analytics. So most times we are dropping first on Search Console and trying to figure out what is happening or what.
Definitely. I think tying round to algorithm updates as well, another thing I think a lot of us can panic about, a lot of us SEOs are often quite a panicky kind of people. And what Google has been experimenting with a lot is a lot of different SERP features. And that can make quite a big difference in a client's visibility as well, right?
Yeah, but you can also know this from the graph because it's not going to dive all the way down. Yeah, so maybe you are still ranking in the same position 532, but there are lots of other things up there that takes the users and they don't get to you. So your impressions and your clicks goes down. Maybe they've decided to start watching videos instead of going down to read. Also, the videos are taking their attention.
We've seen that so much. There's so much more just other things going on in the SERP rather than just your, 10, 15 years ago, you just talk about the traditional 10 blue links on the first page of Google. And there's not that much going on outside of that. Now, even before we start talking about the things that are coming up with SGE and perspectives and all the kind of AI stuff that Google is working on as well, that's a whole other conversation. Go and listen to my previous episodes about SGE and perspectives. You want to learn more about that. But even simple things. We mentioned the change in FAQ schema, right? That Google is going to reduce the visibility for people using FAQ page and how-to schema outside of high quality, trustable sources of health information and governmental sites. So if your client your strategy has been solely driven on getting visibility through featured snippets and rich results and things like that, you could see a pretty significant drop off.
Yeah. So that to check what's there and what's no longer there, what have been removed and what is still there. It can let you know, okay, this is the cost for a traffic drop.
Yeah, I think that historical SERP analysis I find so fascinating, even outside of just how the rankings are changing. What has actually changed? How much is that? As you said, does Google now consider it worthy of ranking video information rather than written information? So now suddenly there is a video carousel in between position one and two, or above position one sometimes. You'll get TikToks, YouTube shorts, YouTube videos. Sometimes you'll get a YouTube video with the pullout of here is the 30-second clip in that timeline you should be to give you the information as quickly as a user. Great. If you're not creating video content and you previously had a really great article, not so good.
So those features really affect our traffic.
Definitely. We mentioned naughty SEOs, dodgy SEOs. Something also worth thinking about is penalties and manual actions as well, right? They can have a pretty significant impact.
Yeah, and like the technical one, you also see it go down and flat because it affects people's sites. So when you see those kind of flat to zero check penalty, check indexation, and you can check this manual penalty in your Google Search Console. Wow, just go down to the setting and you're going to see it.
Yeah, it's usually something that I've not experienced it myself personally, thankfully, with any of my clients.
Yeah, I've not seen that, but whenever I see those kind of data, I try to just confirm that, okay, we don't have anything penalty related.
Yeah, that is an important step to take. I think, having a look at the tracking side of thing, I think is first port of call. Talking to devs and indexing, having a look at those security, the manual actions and the penalties on the left-hand side there of Search Console, just in case. You never know. There might be something, it might have been hacked, your client might have done something without telling you and didn't even realize, or maybe they're up to dodgy stuff, who knows? Some clients just don't tell you. But it's always worth checking, right? And I think that's something a lot of us, like I said, I've never experienced it, so I kind of take it for granted. That is not something I would check during my usual regularly weekly checkups on a client account or whatever. But when there's bad news and there's a potential big serious issue, then is the time to go and check that stuff.
Check
right?
it. Yeah. it's worth checking. And also talking about hacking, in some cases, hacking can also cause your traffic drop. Maybe your site has been hijacked and redirected to something else. And then you check on technical stuff and everything is fine and you're wondering what's happening. Possible that it has been hacked. So,
yeah, I know that's a really common thing. If here's a little tip. I remember I spoke to Bar Wolf from Wix when I was in Brighton SEO. I think it was last year when I spoke to him. And he mentioned having searched on a site and using like the site operator on the SERP itself and seeing what pages Google is seeing. And suddenly there was a load of like Russian characters and Chinese characters and stuff, like non-English script and non-English alphabet characters as these page titles. And I was like, what is going on here? Ah, I've probably been hacked. And that is part of that exploration. So even like you said, outside of Search Console, working out where you've been hacked, where that's coming from, and what pages that's affecting can be a really powerful tool.
Yeah, most times we don't get to our mind to think about it this way. We always concentrate on algorithm and other stuff. It's possible. Very rare though, but it's possible.
Fingers crossed it never happens. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed it will never happen. Your security is tight and everything. It will never happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Those guys are able to like click their way in.
They'll always find a way. Even as secure as we get now with every CMS pretty much being super, super secure. And you know, as much people say, like, WordPress is, you know, a third of the entire web or whatever. Overall, everything is fairly secure. But if a hacker or a spammer or whoever wants to get in, they probably can. Like to the general population, everything is pretty secure. But if people know what they're doing, they're going to be able to get through eventually.
Yeah. And then sometimes you also notice people panicking for traffic drop, whereas it's just a new website that gotten a spike and then started to stabilize. And they're our traffic is dropping. So you just got the first spike, and after a while, it starts to stabilize. You know, Google tried to give first website, like call it priority or something, to make you, so the first time you get a lot of attention, and then after a while, the attention stabilizes, and it's not as if you're losing traffic, it's just your traffic stabilizes.
Yeah, I think that's a real key for, like, ongoing long-term growth as well, is keeping, like you said, Google wants to keep the SERP fresh. They talk about how they want to diversify the SERP and they want to keep it fresh. So they're not just going to rank the same 3, 4, 5, 10 websites over and over and over again. Otherwise, everything would just be Wikipedia over and over and over again, right? It would just be the same reference sites and same high authority sites all over the place. And none of us who are working on smaller client websites would ever rank for anything. But the fact that Google wants to keep those SERPs fresh, it wants to diversify them and make sure that, you know, you are able to provide new information and it's not just something that was written 15 years ago by a very high authority site. You've come in with, actually, no, this is the latest information. This is the update from our industry. You should listen to us. But you're totally right. It then kind of like settles down into maybe this is kind of what you can expect long term. And keeping that momentum going is how you get that steady growth from a client. Keep creating new content, building new links, keeping yourself fresh and in the conversation and make yourself a voice of authority is how you keep that.
Yeah.
So you don't just completely flatten out.
Yeah, actually, that's the point I'm faced with.
That is the long-term goal for everyone, I think, pretty much in SEO.
Yeah. I actually think that SEO, we should also get to this understanding that traffic drop will always happen at a point, at any point. Just like doctors, they go every day to the hospital to save lives. But they also understand that once in a while, death will happen. Yeah. So we should just get this at the back of our mind and then prepare this emergency backpack of how to check things and how to figure out what is wrong and then how to fix them instead of
just panicking and running away. Ignoring the client calls and just like running away and hiding somewhere. My wife is a nurse, so I know the hospital side of things very, very well in terms of keeping things in perspective. Like you said, things are going to happen. Bad things will happen. Mistakes are going to be made. That's a normal part of life wherever you are. But we're only working on websites. It's not life and death. Don't worry. No worry too much. It might affect the client's day and you might have an angry phone call or two, but it's not the end of the world.
Go on vacation if you want to.
So we talked about causes of traffic. We talked about how to analyze them, how to find them, all that kind of stuff. What can we do to prevent them as well? Like that preventative process and also how to recover from it as well, right?
So as I just mentioned earlier on, we can't stop it. Like there is nothing we're going to do to hold our website so tight that it doesn't drop. It just keeps going. Something will definitely happen. Like users may decide, okay, I'm not interested in healthy recipe. I'm in summer and I'm not researching anything healthy. I want to eat. And then what do you do? So you can't really, really prevent it 100%. But by keeping your site safe, ensuring everything is okay during migration and redirection, and ensuring your dev team are on top of the game and they are keeping you informed when they are making the slightest change, and then monitoring your traffic once in a while to quickly detect any change will help you fix them early on or prevent them from happening at all so that you don't lose traffic. But there are some traffic that is not our cause. It is not from the dev. It is a security issue. It is not just from us. Happened. It happened. And there's nothing you can do about it. Let the client know that this is beyond you.
Yeah, definitely. There's always been a thing for me where I feel guilty if I don't check up on a client's website or have a look at the data. I'm too busy. I will only check like once a month for the reporting sessions and that kind of thing. If you can, I will recommend just having a quick check at a scheduled time every week. So when Wednesday at 3 p.m., I will check this client for 10 minutes. Thursday at 2 o'clock, I will check this client for 10 minutes and just like pace yourselves out. Or if you want to do it in one, you know, spend an hour and check everyone's accounts and all that kind of stuff, that's also an option as well. But I really do recommend, and it's something I'm recommending this, but I am very guilty of not doing it myself. In a perfect world, regularly check in on stuff.
Yeah, I used to do it early on in SEO because of the whole excitement of knowing how my traffic is building. But over time, you just get over it and don't want to be looking at traffic every now and then. But as you said, very useful. Maybe Mondays or Fridays you want to check. So, you know, be able to prevent some things from going too far.
Yeah, definitely. I can recommend a tool called Content King. I know they previously sponsored the show. We are not sponsored by them, but I know we use them a lot here at Canda to track any significant changes that happen to the site. It's like a real-time monitoring tool that will let you know, hey, by the way, your homepage just got a no index. And you will get a little email alert of like, hey, just letting you know your entire site has no tracking at all. Like your analytics has just been removed for some reason. Like, I don't think that was scheduled for today. That's a strange thing. And like you said, you then can call or email the dev and be like, hello, just noticed that the analytics is no longer tracking or the homepage is no indexed. Did we do that on purpose? Is this a scheduled thing? Is this the plan? Like you said, I think that communication is so important between the teams.
Yeah, the apps are important. And just for clarification, we are talking about significant traffic drop here and not the normal regular spike and down. Because yeah, that's definitely normal. We are going to expect normal up and down, up and down. We are talking of real significant traffic drop that you know that, oh, there's a problem here.
Yeah, I think that first stage is where you kind of have a look at that and work it out, right? You can tell, oh, it's a 5%, 10% different, whatever it is. That's normal. If there's this more significant change, then we can start thinking about seasonality or the next possible step. And exactly as you were saying, if there's a sudden drop to zero, that is a perfect time to really have a look and that's a pretty clear indication of something going wrong.
So, see, we didn't really talk much on competitors, but that's when you're talking about the 30% drop and you want to defend this to clients. I don't think you want to tell them your competitors are overtaking you. The most competitors are overtaking them. They are upping their strategy and they are doing way better maybe with
I always say double EAT. I don't know if that's correct. I have stuck with that. I saw Lily Ray use it once and I've stuck with it. If Lily Ray says it, I can say it as well. I trust her for anything EEAT. But
yeah, maybe they are doing better with EEAT, badly or stuff, and then your traffic is going down because they have overtaken you position wise or Google have given them preference. So it also makes sense to do this competitors analysis when you are checking your traffic drop to see if they are doing something better.
Yeah, that's a really interesting side of, like, we talked about SERP features, but the fact that, it's something Mark always talks about, and you made a great point there of, like, your competitors aren't just sitting there doing nothing. They are probably working with agencies or have in-house people or are also pushing their marketing and SEO and all that kind of stuff as well. You're not just going to, we've got position one, now we can relax forever and just, you know, never do any work ever again. We've got position one for all of our important keywords. Now I can retire and we'll just make all the money in the world and off we go. It's a competitive space. Chances are your industry that you're working in is competitive because people want to make money. So there's always going to be competition there. And the fact that, you know, your clients are always going to have competitors, they're always going to have competitors who are trying things, doing different strategies. I found this with one of my e-commerce clients where one of the competitors just appeared out of nowhere. And they had really focused on one particular topic that didn't have a crossover with my client's product. They have a slightly different product range, but they had quite a bit of crossover. But this product was just like, nope, it's not one of our products, so I'm not too worried about it. But it brought up the whole visibility, and because they were gaining backlinks for this topic and this product range, suddenly the whole site started ranking for things that did crossover with my client. So it was like, now you need to worry about these people. Like, they are doing hard work. They are building links. They're going out there creating content and all this kind of stuff. Like, yeah, we need to keep an eye on these people. And like we said at the very beginning, this is all a learning process. You can use that as like, oh, they're doing this strategy. Here's how we can take that and adapt that for us, or steal it and do it better, or whatever.
I've worked on a client that was losing traffic and checked everything, technical stuff, everything is fine. And then the competitors are working overtime on their backlink, and this is making them outrank them in most of the keywords, and that is what is causing their traffic drop. So if sometimes not this, it is very important.
Not even your fault, not even the devs, not even anyone. It's the competitors that are the problem. They're the troublemakers.
Yeah, definitely. It will not dive to zero, right? Because they may not be over, you know, the keyword. But if you leave it, it may die zero eventually. You may end up taking everything unless Google decides to reshuffle again and then bring you up for any reason.
Yeah, don't get comfortable. Don't get lazy. Once you're in the top three, position one, don't get too comfortable because there's always someone trying harder, trying, pushing. There's always someone around the corner ready to take that spot, right?
Yeah. I like to think about it this way. I'm hired as an SEO to work on a client site. The competitors also hired another SEO to work on here. So we are competing. You have to be looking at them. They're actually looking at you. So you're looking at your site to know what you're doing and learn how to beat you at the game. So you should also be looking at them to understand how to beat them at the game.
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, this has been a really interesting conversation. I've really enjoyed diving into some data, talking about traffic changes, all the different things that can happen to our sites, our clients, all that kind of stuff. If you want any more information, listeners, the links for all the tools we mentioned. So if you want more information about how to do this through Search Console, we mentioned a couple of other tools going through from Ahrefs and SEMrush to Systrix to Content King and all kinds of stuff. I will put links for all of that stuff in the show notes. If you go to search.withcandor.co.uk, you can find all the links there. And also, they can find links to you, Ibe, where can they find you on social media and stuff?
On Twitter and LinkedIn. This is Jonathan, Ibe Jonathan.
Nice, nice, nice and easy to find you. Like I said, links for both of those will be in the show notes, so please do go and follow Ibe on LinkedIn, on Twitter, which is a great follow. You post some interesting, funny, hilarious things, so I appreciate you and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really had fun with you.
Me too. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
That about wraps us up for this week. Thank you, Ibe Jonathan, for joining me. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I did recording it. I thought it was a really interesting conversation. Quick reminder, once again, we'll be doing a live episode in Brighton on Wednesday, the 13th of September, 2023. Click the link in the show notes, get your free tickets now, and I will be running around the show floor recording interviews and stuff, so you'll get a kind of a follow-up to our Halloween special we did back in October of last year with me, Bright Pig Microphones, running around on the Brighton SEO and recording lots and lots of interviews and lots of snippets from the biggest names in SEO. So stay tuned for two Brighton SEO specials coming up in the next couple of weeks. And I've also got plenty of other fantastic interviews and, of course, the monthly recap episode with Mark as part of Systrix with Kanda coming up in the next few weeks before the end of September as well. So stay tuned for all of that over the next 2, 3, or 4 weeks. And thank you so much for listening, and have a lovely week.